In the name of Jesus, amen. Today our catechism for the week is the Office of the Keys. This is a precious part of the catechism teaching us that God has instituted the ministry so that we would hear the gospel and obtain faith. We begin, what is the Office of the Keys? The Office of the Keys is that special authority which Christ has given to his church on earth to forgive the sins of repentant sinners, but to withhold forgiveness from the unrepentant as long as they do not repent. Where is this written? This is what St. John the Evangelist writes in chapter 20. Lord Jesus breathed on his disciples and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone his sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." John 20:22-23. What do you believe according to these words? I believe that when the called ministers of Christ deal with us by his divine command, in particular when they exclude openly unrepentant sinners from the Christian congregation and absolve those who repent of their sins and want to do better, this is just as valid and certain, even in heaven, as if Christ our dear Lord dealt with us himself. Now you heard that in our New Testament reading this morning from Luke chapter 5. It's rather beautiful. In Matthew's gospel, when Matthew records that event, the healing of the paralytic, the last verse, chapter 9, verse 8, Matthew says that they departed and they were amazed that God had given this authority to forgive sins to men. And that's always been, and that word amazed in Greek is kind of funny because it's similar with English. Amazed can be good or bad. It can be, you know, kind of disgust, shock. It could also be, wow, isn't that wonderful? And I like to think that the crowd was probably a bit of a mix. See, the pastoral office has been established by Christ as an office of stewardship and service. That is our chief point today from this part of the catechism and from our New Testament reading. See, the pastor is a steward. A steward is someone who is entrusted with another's property. The steward has a mandate. He does not act of his own accord or out of his own interests, but he must act on behalf of the one who has given him this stewardship. St. Paul puts it this way in 1 Corinthians 4. He says, of all pastors to the congregation, he says, this is how one should regard us, as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required of stewards that they be found faithful. Now, Paul there gives us two very important points. First, that pastors are servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. From that, we learn that pastors are not lords over the church, but they are servants. Or as we're more used to hearing in English, ministers. They are under Christ's authority and under his headship and under his orders. They have been entrusted with the mysteries of God. That is, the word and the sacraments. As stewards of Christ, they administer and dispense this according to his institution and according to his command. Secondly, we also hear in 1 Corinthians 4 that the steward must be found faithful. That is to say, a pastor must preach and administer the sacraments according to their institution, according to how Jesus establishes them to be done. For example, if a pastor preaches false doctrine, or if he's messing with the sacrament, if he gives you an Oreo cookie and grape soda instead of bread and wine that the words of Christ have been spoken over, he is not being a faithful steward. He has not been given Oreo cookies and grape soda. He has been given bread, wine, and the words, "This is my body, this is my blood." Like every other Christian, the pastor is to be called to repentance when he sins, especially and particularly when he sins in his office, by teaching false doctrine, or by misusing or abusing the sacraments. He is to be rebuked privately and then publicly, and especially publicly if those are very public sins. And if he refuses to repent of his false doctrine or false practice, he must be removed from his office. Now, this concept of stewardship is essential for us understanding the office of the keys and the ministry. Without this understanding of stewardship, the doctrine of the ministry loses its entire gospel and Christological character. You see, the pastor is charged by Christ through the call of the congregation to stand in Christ's stead and to preach Christ's word of law and gospel, to teach sound doctrine, to rebuke false doctrine, to rebuke sin, to exhort towards Christian living, and above all, to comfort souls with the proclamation of the gospel. Through the call, this man, whether that's Jonah or Mike or whoever, this man becomes not Jonah or Mike, but is now pastor. That is to say, shepherd. He shepherds the flock of the good shepherd Jesus in his stead and by his command. And this stewardship, this shepherd, under-shepherdhood, to make up a word, is for you. It is instituted so that the gospel might be proclaimed and that you might receive the salvation of your souls. You see, if we allow Satan's lies to creep in, we'll end up like Rome, where a priest is a lord in a hierarchy of clergy all the way up to the Pope. Or another ditch we can fall into is with the Baptists and the non-denominationals and all the general Protestants, where the pastor is little more than an employee of the church, hired for their whims. He might even be a CEO or a CTO, a chief theological officer. But at the end of the day, that misunderstands the stewardship as well. He is not a hireling to the whims of the congregation. He has been charged by the congregation to do what Christ has established this ministry to do, to preach to them the law and the gospel, to administer the sacraments, to train children, to visit us on their deathbed, and many other things. In all that he does, the pastor is a steward of what Christ has entrusted to the church for her benefit. This mystery of God is the gospel itself. God loved you, and he sent his only son to die for you. He became man, he suffered and died, he rose on the third day, and he ascended on high. This Jesus lives now so that you might live in him and have eternal life in his name. In order that you may obtain this faith and be saved, Christ instituted the office of ministry. After his resurrection, he breathed on the disciples and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." And he sent them as his stewards to preach his gospel, to preach the good news to you. Of that you should be certain, dear Christians, for it is not Jonah, but Christ who forgives you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.